Thank you. We delight again to hear the story of the journey to Bethlehem, the song of the angels, the surprise of the shepherds, and their joy as they found Jesus in a manger. But lest we forget that he was born to poverty, we remember at this season those who are hungry or cold. Lest we forget that he became a refugee, we remember the stranger and the lonely amongst us. Unless we forget that he felt the pain of life and death, we remember now those who are ill or anxious or bereaved. Unless we forget that he came for our salvation, let us in heart and mind go once again to Bethlehem to hear the message of the angels and worship afresh the Son of God. Just to say a welcome to everyone here tonight and to everyone who will be listening on the recording, because I'm going to record tonight and put it out as well. So if you haven't been able to be here for whatever reason, may you be blessed by the singing tonight. I want to start off by saying a huge thank you to everyone that's been involved in preparing for tonight. Especially on behalf of those who are not here who will have a listen to the audio at some other point. My thanks to Verity for putting together the choir tonight, and Jerry will be leading the Eden Wild Goose Community Choir, who will sing one item a little bit earlier. We've not had a chance to practice before the service, so the Eden Wild Goose Community Choir at the right time on your sheet, just come and stand up here and Jerry will direct us at that point. So I'm going to say that the rest of the service will flow unannounced and hand over to Charles for our first reading.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign upon David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times.
Thank you. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Ding dong, Mary, on high in heaven the bells are ringing. Ding dong, Mary, in the sky is ringing with angels singing. Gloria, Hosanna in excelsis.
And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Thank you.
spake to Sarah for the fourth day and fourth week, a dear God shining from. All angels praise him, God to God.
They asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Oh,
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of the natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We've just heard a beautiful singing of In the Bleak Midwinter. And we've taken our theme this Christmas of At the Heart of Christmas. It's being used in Church of England churches up and down the country, At the Heart of Christmas. So I reflected on our carols that we were doing, and of course the heart is mentioned in this particular carol. Christina Rossetti, born 1830. She was a daughter of Italian and of Italian English, and they came to live in this country, partly in the country but partly in London. But from a very early age, she had very ill health. She struggled with all sorts of things. In her later life, she also had ill health. She came from an artistic family. Dad was taught Italian at King's College in London, and they had four children. And both Christina and Dante, who were very robust children, very possibly even angry children, busy and loud children, were called the Storms, whereas the two other girls in the family were called the Calms. And you can imagine how the four got together and how it worked out. Christina, actually, when she was older, and I've had a look at the Literary Society about her, she was talking to a younger member of her family, her nephew, and at this point Christina had managed to calm down a little bit on her storms. She said to her nephew, "You must not imagine, my dear girl, that your aunt was always calm and sedate person that you now behold. I too had a very passionate temper, but I learned to control it. On one occasion, being rebuked by my dear mother for some fault, I seized on a pair of scissors and ripped up my arm to vent my wrath. I've learnt since to control my feelings, and no doubt you will." And the commentator writes, self-control was indeed achieved, perhaps too much, because she was later described as excessively restrained. So maybe that comes across into the poem that she wrote as well. She's an interesting person. Someone engaged asked to marry her, and she said no, because he was a member of the Roman Catholic Church. So he immediately changed to become an Anglican, and asked again, and she said yes. And during their long engagement, he changed back to Roman Catholic Church, and she said no. So she was fairly determined in what she wanted and what she felt was important for her. She actually had three proposals of marriage, and she turned them all down. Sometimes people say that she was devoid of contact with the world. She was just too caught up in her poetry. But actually, when the Crimea War started and Florence Nightingale went out, she applied to go, but she was turned down. But her aunt was taken, and so she took over the visiting in the parish that her aunt was in North London, and eventually started to work in a hostel for what in those days were called fallen women. So she was very much involved in life, and later on the family became quite poor because they were relying on one of the four of them to support them who died. So she struggled quite a lot. Her brother Dante was an artist, and this is his painting of Christina. She was often a model, and she often posed as the Madonna for him. She was familiar with poverty and ministered amongst women in London. And maybe that reflects an earlier poem that we were hearing with the poor and the mean and the lowly. The editor of a magazine in America called the Scribner's Monthly met her and invited her to write a poem for one of their magazines, which she did. And it is actually the poem that we've just been singing or listening to. It earned her £10 for that. Give my heart, it ends with. Give my heart. What can I give? I give my heart. And we're singing the original poem that she wrote. There are at least three tunes. Holst wrote one of them, and Harold Dark wrote another, which is the one that we've just been singing. I've looked up about four or five more, and the most recent one was written by someone called Jerry King, who is the closest person to me in church tonight. And if you ask very, very nicely, the Eden Wild Goose Community Choir might just sing it over your mulled wine a little bit later on. The carol, the poem, you'll recognise the words, in the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. If you look at them, and commentators have said this, that you find a bleak and a cold and an unforgiving scenario that's been painted. It's harsh and it's hard. And one person said, look how many no's there are in those snows. No, 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 five no's. This is a negative space that we're in. And her poem is trying to capture something of life without knowing Christ. There are several long O's in it. Long ago, the wind made moan, water like a stone. And again, the poetry takes you to a very, very bleak place. A symbolism like an English winter. This is my own bit of artwork. This is some slightly washed out Blencathra in the snow. It's a cold place to go. And the symbolism, bitter like an English winter. So that was the situation she was describing. Some people may say it doesn't snow in Palestine. Well, when I was out there a few days ago, as I flew out the next day, I saw the pictures of Bethlehem snowing. That was in December. C.S. Lewis, of course, called the cold place Narnia when he came to write about it. Needing the coming of the Christ, the coming of Aslan, to bring a thaw to it. And Rossetti has this sense, that first verse as well. When you go to the second verse, suddenly we enter into divinity. Heaven couldn't hold him, but a stable place sufficed. He came down from earth to heaven. She points to that coming of Christ, but also to the second coming of Christ, when he comes to reign, because he's not reigning yet on this world. His kingdom is here, but he's not reigning. We're waiting for that time. The coming is a gift to this world. And that's what the angels were singing about. Verse 3, enough for him whom cherubim worship night and day, worship and adoration, the ox and the ass which adore. In heaven and on earth, there the cherubim, here the ox and the camel, the worship of Christ, the one who has come. The angels and archangels may have gathered there. And the word worship, again, is the maiden's bliss to worship with a kiss. Now that's a very interesting word that she uses there, of a mother kissing a baby. What's so uncommon about that? But she will know, of course, that the Greek word for worship in the New Testament, proskuneo, means to kiss. That Mary was worshipping the Christ child. To kiss the hand of a superior is the translation. Or to bow down and to lie prostrate on the ground. It's actually first used of dogs before the person who is their owner or their handler, the dog that would come and bow and say, in the case of my house, give me a gravy bone. But there is this sense where you come in worship and you bow down, much like the shepherds, we imagine, and the Magi later, we would imagine as well. But Mary kisses. That is the worship. So in response, what can I give him? If I was a shepherd, I'd give a lamb. If I was a wise man, I'd do my part. But what can I give him? I give my heart. My heart. Heart is something we all have. I don't have a lamb. I don't have the gold and frankincense and myrrh. But I have my heart. And Rossetti invites us to come to give what we can, our heart, to the Lord Jesus. Give my heart. At the back there are a few little booklets now, Why Christmas? And if you've not really thought about what it means to worship Christ at Christmas before, then come and take one of those books. To a cold world, she says, comes the warmest of gifts. We receive with adoration and worship as a kiss. So be born in us today. The finger of God has come to us to welcome us, and we bow in worship and symbolically kiss. That is what worship is. We sing. towards the end tonight, please remain standing. My thanks to Graham Bartlett on the organ. Fantastic to be able to lead us through to the choir here for the Edenwald Goose folk as well. In just a few minutes, in about 5 minutes or so, anyone on the Edenwald Goose has come to the front here and we will sing the most modern version of Midwinter. I think there's another one being written by the Church of England as well, I understand. So thank you to all of you. Thank you as well for candles, for a beautiful flower display, and for everything that's gone into making tonight happen. And if you're listening as an audio online, use your imagination. It's beautiful in here. This evening it has been good to read in Holy Scriptures the record of God's loving actions from the first days of sin to the glorious salvation now extended to all who believe in his Son. We take our leave of Bethlehem, our Saviour, safely born. God become a man. And in our parting we seek the wisdom of travellers, warned of danger ahead. We too will take a different route, knowing the way the Master went, and that it was for us that he died. As we await our risen Lord's return to this despairing world, a bleak midwinter, we hear again the message of an angel. Call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Son of man in Bethlehem, Son of God in Wetherall, we will worship you on your birthday. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.